Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Books in French Studies, discussions with scholars of France and the Francophone world about their new books. I'm your host, Roxane Penchassi. My guest today is Amjo Hall, the author of Ecological Metapolitics, Badiou and the Anthropocene, and the book was published by Atropos Press in 2015. Hi there, Am.
Hi, Roxane. Great to be here.
Could you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work on Badiou?
I'd predominantly worked as a social activist in Vancouver, both here and also in the Middle East, working on human rights questions. And in my graduate work, I had done international economic relations and had, felt very limited by the theoretical landscape that was in international relations and trying to work through questions of social change and political change. And because of those frustrations in working in these traditional fields, found a kind of interest in continental philosophy and particularly the French strain of continental philosophy in the 1960s in terms of dealing with political and social change. And so not only was it rich and interesting work related to questions I was interested in, but it also partially came out of a frustration out of the limits of theoretical concepts in fields like international relations and political science.
I sort of feel like the first big question I want to ask you, Am, is who is Alain Badiou? Can you give us a sketch of this towering intellectual figure and what your interactions with him and his work have been?
Alain Badiou has become a much more popular figure in the English-speaking world since the 2000s, and his the English translation of Being an Event, his most well-known book, didn't happen until 2005. And so in some sense, he's become much more well-known outside of France, much more recently. He's in his late 70s right now, but he's theoretical background is important in French philosophy, is, I think, particularly important if you look at the kind of long moment in French history. His father was a member of the French Resistance and later on became mayor of a city. Alain Badiou grew up in that kind of political context of the French Resistance. And in that time of the 60s, French philosophy was a very rich period. He, for a period of time, had his own television show where he interviewed philosophers. But his theoretical kind of influences involved, almost in this order in a way, Jean-Paul Sartre, Louis Althusser, and Jacques Lacan. And he was heavily involved after that in the 70s in a very French strain of Maoism that were involved in theoretical questions that Mao had posed. It was a very militant period in the 70s. And in the early 80s, with Althusser's structuralism and Lacan's work following somewhat out of fashion, Badiou himself moved away from a much more militant, politicized philosophy into a more systematic one, which brought mathematical concepts into questions of being. And so it definitely has changed substantially over the years in terms of what his interests are. But certainly his work, Being an Event, is something that a work that has continued to resonate, as well as Logics of Worlds in the following, the follow-up to that book. But in terms of his interventions, whether it's in ethics, metapolitics, the kind of speculative turn in continental philosophy, he's moved through those big moments. And of course, French philosophy is full of lots of fights. There's a very well-known one between him and Deleuze. But I think what's interesting about him is that he continues to remain fully committed to a kind of militant tradition. And in his late 70s, continues to have tremendous output in terms of his thinking and in terms of a new generation of students who are continue to be interested in his work.
And you've had the opportunity to participate in seminars led by Badiou, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I sat in seminars of his in 2012 and lectures by him. I attended a master class with him at the University of Amsterdam as part of a conference. And so I'd actually originally, as part of my dissertation, was going to be looking at questions related to climate change and international relations and movement and thinking about space. And originally wasn't thinking of working with Badu's work, but in his seminars of 2012 at European Graduate School, he spent a couple of days going through the environmental question, the larger question of climate change, as a part of his discussion. And he really hasn't had a long history of delving into environmental questions. And so after being, you know, very influenced by some of those seminars, decided to combine what I was originally planning to do and place it around bringing Badu's work into the environmental questions, kind of forcing these things together, even though it wasn't something Badu had been associated with as other philosophers in the French tradition had been, like Bruno Latour or Michel Serre.
I want to come back to something you mentioned there about doing this. So this book is a published version of your doctoral thesis that you completed at the European Graduate School. And I know we have a number of graduate students who listen to the podcast. So I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about working at the European Graduate School and what that experience was like doing your doctoral work there.
Yeah, I think it is very much an experimental school based in Switzerland. And one of the values of it is the quality of the people that they bring there to lecture and give seminars. So I had an absolutely fantastic experience being there in terms of being able to take seminars with people like Giorgio Agamben and Judith Butler, Jacques Rancière, Avital Ronel, many, many others. And it is very an independent program. There isn't a lot of support in between the years that you're there, but certainly being able to spend time with these thinkers that have influenced continental philosophy over many, many years, and actually seeing them debate one another sometimes in public settings, it's a very, very rich experience to be there. And I had an absolutely fantastic time in terms of new thinking, in terms of being challenged related to questions in continental philosophy. And it wasn't just specific to my topic, but, you know, there's something, there's not that many experiences you can have, like sitting in a class with Judith Butler where she's working through Walter Benjamin. It's quite an extraordinary thing to go through. And in the same way, seminars with Badu were absolutely life-changing for, I think, many people in the program. I think it's one of the few places I've gone to where when a seminar ended, some students were literally crying because it was over.
That sounds pretty incredible. All right, well, let's talk about the book. In your preface, you present this project as one that, and I'm quoting you here, interfaces Alain Badiou's philosophical work on militant political change with the contemporary question of ecology and the geological epoch referred to as the Anthropocene. So we've already talked a little bit about Badiou and his history. Let me ask you to say a little bit more about this notion of the Anthropocene.
Yeah, the Anthropocene is actually quite a debated topic as to what it means, what era does it refer to. Mm-hmm. And in fact, geologists right now are trying to officially to see if it will be known as an era, and that's going to be determined sometime, I think, in 2017. But it refers to the geological period where human beings are making such an impact that it, in fact, is a geological epoch similar to the Holocene or others that have preceded it, that this, from a historical point of view, places the human at the center of these profound changes happening at the global level in a planetary sense. For some people, this period begins when humans enter the Earth in the beginning of the agricultural revolution. Still others refer to it at the time of the British, the Industrial Revolution in Britain, with the development of the steam engine and other things in the 17th and 18th century. Other people refer to it as the period following the Second World War, Which is also referred to as the Great Accelerations. But certainly the period where capitalism takes off, where human impact is having a direct impact on the climate in a new and profound sense, where the very question of existence is put onto the table. So I certainly define that as a period beginning with the Industrial Revolution and certainly followed by the Great Acceleration from the Second World War, where it becomes scientifically verified, this human impact on the planet.
Well, as I look at your title, I'm not going to ask you to define ecological metapolitics, your term that you're using and mobilizing in the book, because we're going to be talking about it for the next little while. But I did want to ask a question about the significance of the use of the terms ecology and ecological. And if you could say a word about, well, why not environment? What does it mean to use ecology and ecological rather than environment or environmental?
I wanted to place ecology within a political context for Badiou, and the way he approaches the ecological question is that, you know, yes, it certainly has to do with nature, it has to do with other living beings, but the question of ecology as it's placed into a contemporary context is ultimately mediated through a subject, through a human subject. And so in this sense, the use of ecology and defined in a concept of political change, as well as that it's a human concept mediated through humans in terms of the question of existence, not just for the human species, but for other living beings and of the natural world itself. So it was a kind of placing ecology into a politicized context in particular. So in some sense, this book deals more with change and politics, more so than perhaps traditionally environmental questions that you might find in analytical philosophy or other strains of continental philosophy.
You point out early on that the project is about thinking through ecology in philosophy, but are careful to note that it's not an attempt to suture philosophy to politics. Could you say a little bit more about that distinction in terms of your arguments in the book and your approach as a reader and writer?
Yeah, since Badiou was also my advisor and I was working through his work, I had to defend my use of him in front of him. And so for Badiou, he views truths exists outside of philosophy. And so for him, politics, love, science, and art are the fields which produce truths. And for him, when philosophy sutures itself onto one of its conditions, it produces a disaster. That philosophy ought to mediate and consider within these fields where truths emerge, the consideration of philosophical concepts. When philosophy sutures itself onto politics, it becomes a kind of propaganding exercise that doesn't function as a place of thinking. And so this was what I was trying to define there early on as, you know, rather than calling it ecological politics, it was called ecological metapolitics in order to create a place to consider metapolitical questions apart from what would be the day-to-day political struggles associated with ecology.
In the introduction to the book, you note that Badiou isn't really viewed as an ecological thinker or someone thinking through these anthropocenic problems per se, but the first chapter of the book does explore his own work on ecological questions and issues. So what has he had to say about these things, and how does that fit into his broader oeuvre in a philosophical and a political sense?
He's done some interviews in the past where he raises a kind of skepticism around ecological questions, around the rights of nature, and he even refers to it in parts as a kind of contemporary form of the opium of the people. For him, the social and the political question of equality is a much larger question. And so he wants those questions situated together. So for him, a lot of the ecological question is a kind of greenwashing for him. And these are older interviews. In the seminars that I was able to attend, he talks about a kind of dialectic between change and tradition. And he also situated that particular lecture in terms of the task of the old man. He was referring to himself as somebody near the end of life, that anyone at the end of life is trying to transmit a kind of tradition. And tradition can sometimes be situated on the side of change and sometimes on the side of a repetition of the world as it is. And so he gets into these questions of capitalism, where he says, you know, capitalism also is a kind of change itself. It wants a kind of monstrous desire for newness. And so when we talk about change, what exactly are we talking about? And in the ecological question, he sees an idea of a kind of a call for a new modern tradition, something that actually is connected to a traditional sense rather than one of newness, but also is a move away from the contemporary capitalist condition. And so these are the questions he kind of works through in his seminars related to ecology.
So in this chapter, you really are starting to work towards definitions of ecology sort of after Badiou, and a definition of your notion of ecological metapolitics. So I guess I'm wondering, how does philosophy help? How do these ideas of what it means to live, die, mourn, the event, help you to come up with a definition of this notion of ecological metapolitics?
Yeah, I think that, you know, many political, social movements, previous ecological movements bring up questions of catastrophe, of the end of days, these types of questions. Other times, the ecological question rests on particular tactical struggles. We should save this forest. This needs to be shut down in order to save the planet. And so there tends to be sometimes a kind of hysteria associated with it. And sometimes I think a place like philosophy can allow for a place for broader questions of the relations between human technology and nature to raise new types of questions that the ecological question that the Anthropocene brings to the forefront. So in some sense, these are actually age-old philosophical questions that, you know, go back to Plato and other people in the continental tradition. In some sense, it's about asking old questions anew within this particular context and with the ecological question at the center of it. And so, and also I think what I would add to that is that what has traditionally circulated as environmental philosophy, I had a profound frustration with. I got large anthologies on environmental ethics, environmental philosophy, and I found in reading through them that there wasn't for me a lot there that I found inspiring or interesting in terms of what the stakes of the question appear to be today. And so in that sense, it was by going through Badiou's work, it seemed to me, because of his relationship to considering questions of militant political change, which in some sense I suppose I believe is needed in the ecological question, that it seemed to me a way to refresh that conversation within continental philosophy.
In the second section of the book, you put it a slightly different way, which is that you say that definitions of, and I'm quoting you again, definitions of political philosophy, environmental ethics, democracy, and human rights are too contaminated to effectively consider the paradox of the ecological question today. Could you say a little bit more about what you're getting at here?
Yeah, in two of Badiou's books, Metapolitics and Ethics, he takes quite a heavy-handed approach where he basically does an attack on what he considers the false paradigm of political philosophy, which he views as a kind of philosophy of the state. And so his definition of politics, which has a relationship to truth, which for him is a material construction, that truth is something that is materially created and that it cuts a hole through knowledge, that knowledge is circulated wisdom and facts, whereas the truth is something that needs to be constructed. And so for him, a political philosophy that is a kind of discourse of the state, of constitutions, of different norms in democratic traditions, for him, that is a kind of limited nature of politics. And so for him, the state or political philosophy reduces the individual capacity to create change or to build some tradition that is different than what he refers to as democratic materialism. And okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you to elaborate on that notion of democratic materialism.
Yeah, for him, democratic materialism is a kind of definition of change that is materially constructed through the state's vision of history, the present, and the future. And for him, one of the tasks of philosophy, if it's truly to have a relationship to truth, then it's a construction, almost a scientific mathematical construction that has a relationship to equality. And for him, that means taking a militant position separated from the state in order to allow the truth to emerge. And so that distancing, that subtraction from the state is kind of a first move to create what the possibility of politics can be. And that sets him apart from most normative philosophical traditions that function in political philosophy.
You've raised Baju's ideas about truth and being, and I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about how his thinking on the event helps you to think through these questions.
With the event, what Baju sort of brings to the table that makes it relevant in the ecological question. I don't get into answering this question about whether this notion of climate change or the Anthropocene is an event or whether it's a new truth in the field of science. But this question of the relationship of being to the event and this sort of militant fidelity that's created through this new truth is something that Baudu, that sets him apart from other people thinking through these questions. And so anyone can be, but not everyone can be a subject for him. And the subject has a militant fidelity to the truth that has a relationship to the event. And the event can only be signified retroactively after that's happened. And in some sense, for Baudu, May 68 for him is an event. And there are many other examples of revolutionary traditions. It doesn't always have to be political an event. It can function in any of the other truth procedures. But I think it raises the stakes of the environmental question about having to consider whether the Anthropocene or the ecological question today constitutes itself as an event or a new truth in the field of science. And if there is going to be a militant relationship to that truth, if that is indeed an event, then what is to be done today? What is the nature of being today? And how is it to be situated? And what is its relationship to politics going to be? I think these are the questions that I'm trying to get into in the book.
Mm-hmm. What you were just saying makes me want to back up a little bit and ask you to say more about militancy, how Baudu thinks about that, how you're thinking about that in relationship to his work. What does it mean, militancy?
Yeah, for him, he he puts together the terms militant and fidelity, because for him, the fidelity to the truth and to stay away from the exhaustion and the corruption that can come from distancing oneself from truths that emerge. And for him, he draws that into mathematical and scientific principles in terms of how the event comes into being, how it's situated, how it is turned into a material reality. And in that sense, this militancy for him has a relationship to the truth. And in that sense, he also draws examples historically about political traditions that had militancy, but not a relationship to truth. And, you know, he cites totalitarian regimes and other types of political examples where it's not just a blind and open call for a kind of blind political militancy, that it's something that is constantly negotiated and interrogated and comes into being, but it does have that relationship to the event. And he gets into this work in ethics and being an event as well.
In a third section of the book, you focus your attention on ideas and practices of resistance. What do you have to say about the history, the philosophy of resistance here in the book?
Yeah, I was finished reading Howard Cagle's book on resistance and had been doing earlier reading from Foucault, where he inverts Clausewitz's comment that war is politics by other means. Foucault in some of his work turns it over to politics is war by other means. And in these questions of how a social order is constructed and why his work, particularly when we're looking at international relations or geopolitics and how spatial ordering occurs, that there is a long tradition, whether we're talking about Clausewitz or other militant traditions, including Mao and other totalitarian examples that are obviously problematic. And this kind of relationship to people making change and their relationship to the state is something that's always brings up new questions. It was covered partially by people like Carl Schmitt on The Partisan. There's new work presently coming out as well from other continental philosophers. Alberto Toscano has written a book recently on the fanatic. I think these are all also very relevant when applied to the environmental question today.
Does the question of violence come in here?
Not in a large sense, but the question of resistance that Cagle goes through does get into questions of the relationship of violence and truth. And I think those are obviously problematic concepts and contexts, but they certainly are part of that philosophical tradition. And one of the things that is at stake today is as we see a kind of polarization, both in terms of inequality, in terms of exacerbation by environmental questions, that these divisions that exist today, that pre-exist environmental questions but are exacerbated by them, that we're going to see these questions come into play more and more so. And that's why we see areas like the U.S. military and other ones doing strategic threat assessments related to climate change that go into the future 30 or 40 years hence, that are part of their situational planning. And so these are questions that aren't just relevant in philosophy or being considered, but in fact have found their ways into military planning itself as well.
I noticed that in this section of the book, you reach for Fanon and Glenn Coulthard and some of these other thinkers. And so I'm wondering about the role that the issue of imperialism, colonialism, some of these other questions play in this discussion for you.
Yeah, in terms of Badiou, a lot of his writing related to the colonial question relate to Algeria, and though he references them somewhat in other contexts, in some sense they're in need of some renovation. And Glenn Coulthard's work, Red Skin, White Mass, and his use of Fanon to interrogate Hegel and the master-slave dialectic. These are, I think, very relevant questions. In a much broader sense, you know, it's very difficult to think of an ecological solution or some kind of movement towards making the situation somewhat better without a connection to Aboriginal ways of being and thinking and relationships to the land. And so I think besides Glenn's work, there's many, many other thinkers as well that are putting these questions into a contemporary context with a historical context, a colonial, a call for decolonization that's very relevant today that I think also points towards a future related not just to those questions specifically, but to the ecological question today. The ecological question today is very much tied into the Aboriginal question as well.
In a fourth section of the book, you focus on geopolitics and questions of sovereignty on scales both local and global. So could you say a little bit about how you're using this term geopolitics in the book?
Yeah. The geopolitics, of course, came through a geography tradition and a war lexicon, and has a connection to Mackinder and others from geography. But this broader question of spatial ordering and power and the assertions of power in a geostrategic sense, I think is an important question, because with the ecological question and with new divisions and divides that are being created, it will still be situated and mediated at levels of power. And so those questions and how the planet is ordered and how power functions now and into the future is a very relevant question related to ecology.
So what does it mean to speak of an accelerationist geopolitics?
Once again, with old philosophical questions of the relationship of the human to technology and the tool and its impact on nature, with the Enlightenment tradition was the view of a kind of human mastery over nature with the scientific revolution and other advancements of the time. And critiques of that came in through the Frankfurt School and others. Today, with the type of sovereignties that come with technology, information technology, and others, the work that Benjamin Bratton and others are working on, where we're really seeing in a kind of geospatial sense something beyond the nation state, something beyond the Westphalian framework of a mediating dispute and conducting a kind of sovereignty. And so these challenges to sovereignty are happening through technology at the same time as the ecological question is being mediated. And so to somehow bring those things into conversation together to see what the new questions might be is what I was attempting to do in bringing these questions up. And accelerationism is another one that I think relates to that as well.
So what does it mean to call for or to elaborate a new nomos of the Anthropocene?
In terms of what the speculative thinkers are doing, and I think people like Benjamin Bratton are particularly doing it well, which, you know, you do have many debates in ecology and Marxist geography and others where people are talking about the end of capitalism, David Harvey and other people, that some thinkers like Bratton are sort of leapfrogging themselves into the future to project forward and backward of what this other world might look like, that's something beyond capitalism without getting fixated on these questions of how or when it might happen. So it's a purely speculative kind of intervention that's being driven by outside and around these questions of apocalypse, end of days, relationship between humanity and capital, and these types of questions that somehow jumping forward into something beyond the end of the world as it is, or at least how it's functioning under a capitalist logic, that we can somehow imagine some new context, some new way of being, and to project backwards into present day. I think those are very speculative, very theoretical, and they tend to function very much only in theory and in artistic movements, and tend not to make it into actual political life. But they're nonetheless very interesting approaches to some of these questions.
So just to follow up on that, you write at certain points in the book about this notion of a non-capitalist modernity. Could you say more about that?
Yeah, in some sense, Badiou's done a number of interviews following the situation in Greece and related to the ecological question, where he does call for the desire for a new modern tradition and what that might be, and something that's sort of against a classical revolutionary vision that might also be on the side of change. And so when we're talking about this relation between tradition and change and this call for a new modern tradition, it also brings up the relation between nature and history, and those things, those kinds of questions go back many years, and the role of ecology in placing itself within the question of a new modern tradition, I think, opens up the possibility of talking about something new. And in this sense, it takes it away from the question of the end of days or the impending apocalypse that oftentimes is associated with the environmental movement and particular strains of it, like deep green ecology and other types of movements such as that. And if we bring it back to the question of ontology, the science of being qua being, and we come back to these questions like what is it to live, and we place it within the ecological question, I think we open up new ways of being, new ways of doing politics, and disrupting a kind of the democratic materialist world that we're presently functioning in.
I want to ask you a little bit more about that, and something you said at the outset, you know, which is that you have been for many years an activist and still are one. And I'm just wondering about, I guess this is a biographical question as well as an intellectual and political one, that, you know, how you bring these things together, a project like this one and its philosophical preoccupations with the world for you and how you regard that of others of political activism. How do you bring those two together?
Mm-hmm. I think for somebody like me who has worked inside a formal political sense and as a social activist in nonprofit organizations and other voluntary activist interventions is that for me, and I think as a particular kind of relationship to the Olympics in Vancouver, that there come periods of the exhaustion of the political. And I think that when things are particularly situated, or there are certain closures in the political world, in the mainstream political world, in the big P sense of the word, I think that what philosophy and theory has to offer is the possibility of something new. And one of the quotes I really like of Badiou's is that for him, he talks about theory being the attic in your house that you go to in a state of exhaustion, where you carve your knife to go back out into battle again. And in some sense, it places a value of a kind of thinking through and a working through of these closures that one can go back and act in the world as well. And so I think I found it particularly going through Badiou's work, and I think him having a long view of political change itself that I found very valuable, and I would even say therapeutic in some sense, of this kind of working through of the political, of how one should be in the world and how one can possibly act in the world, and that relationship between politics and truth, and to work it through theoretically in that sense, I think has been quite valuable.
What do you have to say in the book about the possibilities of collective interventions along these lines?
In some sense, Badiou's relationship to Lacan and how he writes about desire and the notion of equality and collective movement, very much how he's talked about it for many, many decades. It certainly has a relationship to many things that Naomi Klein writes about in her book, This Changes Everything. And although Klein is much more of an immersive journalist than she is a theoretician, there's certainly in terms of how my work lands down working through Badiou, the conclusions in it, although perhaps a bit more theoretical than specific, certainly have a relationship to what Naomi Klein writes about in her book as well.
You come back again and again throughout the book to the notion of the affirmative and affirmation and philosophy's relationship to affirmation. And I wonder if you could say a little bit more about that. You make a couple of points about not beginning from a negation and the affirmative role of philosophy with respect to these questions of ecology. Could you say more about that?
Yeah. Badiou gave a seminar 5 or 6 years ago, a public lecture and a paper. And he kind of reworks his relationship to negation. And of course, he does that with a relationship and a discussion of Hegelian dialectics. And in order to challenge them, he presents a model of philosophy that begins with an affirmation, but still employs negation after the initial affirmative sequence. And so for him, rather than beginning with a negation, that one should begin from an affirmative structure in order for the truth to emerge. And he does this by arguing for a kind of subjectivity that comes from the subject and the movement as a first operation of the dialectic. And for him, to begin with the negative dialectic means that it leaves you inside of the logic of the state or inside of the logic of capital in some instances. And so it's in that subtlety, by beginning with affirmation of what the relationship to truth might be in a political sequence or movement, that one can get outside of either the logic of the state or capital or whatever adversary might one be working against. And so in some sense, this isn't so different than things like in the time of Malcolm X, when he argued that, you can't sit on your hands and knees and beg for equality. You have to stand on your own 2 feet and push back. In the same way that Fanon talks about looking away from the master, in some sense, he's speaking about a kind of affirmative subjectivity. Mm. So this call around an affirmative dialectic or approach has aligned with other thinkers of change that work around the notion of negative dialectic, which oftentimes functions as a kind of culture in activist or social change oriented organizations, not just specifically in ecology, but in social change in general.
So I have sort of a two-part question about the conclusion and conclusions to the book. And that is, so what is Badiou's and then your and the book's perspective on the future with respect to the ecological question?
I think I don't know if there's a particular conclusion per se, except that there is a call for a kind of collective universalism, a connection to equality, and a connection to politics as a truth procedure, that is a call for a kind of militant change to bring about a new type of world, a new way of being, not just by a subject, but also a collectivity. And in some sense, the areas where the book doesn't get into, and I think this is probably the work of somebody else to do, which is that because Badiou is known as somebody who works through mathematical equations and set theory, that the Badiou's work can be brought more forcefully, I think, in the future into the ecological question by applying some of the mathematical and scientific sequences into the question more thoroughly. And I think we would be able to pull Badiou a little bit further into the ecological question, even though it hasn't been an interest of his. It was something that I think in the book, or in the way that I was able to get into it, the politics and the scientific side and the ecological question was something I felt quite comfortable in. But because I didn't have that mathematical grounding, that wasn't something that I ventured into. And so I think that where the book leaves off, I think, is a call for a kind of militant political tradition that is connected to change, and a call for a new modern tradition. But there is, I think, a lot of movement and room for the scientific and mathematical part of Badiou's work to be brought into the question.
So I have to ask you, because you mentioned having to defend the project and your ideas at some point, what is Badiou's response to what you've produced here?
It was very intimidating. First of all. Secondly, he was quite fine and happy with how I had made use of his work and his general philosophical orientation and how it was applied into the question. He also recognized it as the first time that his overall work had been brought into the ecological question, that it hadn't been done as a book or a work before. He did have issues with how I defined ecology. He thought it should have been much better defined, and so that's where the critique came from. But in an overall sense, it was quite positive comments and a huge relief to me.
Yeah, I don't want to make you relive your dissertation defense, given that you've actually been able to have a conversation with the person who is such a central subject of the book, I had to ask. So what are you working on now?
Now I'm also looking at this question of a new modern tradition and trying to think that through, through some writing. Also, about 6 months ago, I did a trip, working on a collective project with, Matt Hearn and Joe Sacco, the graphic journalist, around, the question of, the question of development in the age of climate change. And we did that as a road trip to Fort McMurray, Alberta, where the oil sands are located, and as a way of interviewing people and getting into some questions. So there's a couple of writing projects that are currently in their early stages.
So when you're in those situations, do you hearken back to the attic in your mind?
I do, and you know, I think the theoretical space and the amount of reading that I've done around it that wasn't even related to my topic, I've still found it a wonderful place to continue reading. And so I am going through The Fanatic by Alberto Toscano, who's a translator of Badiou's. And so I think that there's a wonderful, I think E.L. Wiseman is doing really wonderful work related to politics and space and forensic architecture. And so there's other people's work I'm continuing now that I'm away from the specifics of a dissertation to be able to get into. So I'm continuing to read a lot, even if I'm not necessarily putting out anything in writing anytime soon.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining me and for writing the book.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to speak with you.